In sheet number 19, the Magachir said over from a researcher in Japan, this is that there are 1,600 different murex snails and 16,000 different subspecies, and 300 which give a dye. So why would we pick the Murex trunculus as being one of those 300 to give a dye? Why not pick one of the other 299 or from the 1,600 or the 16,000, the ones that don't give dye, it's irrelevant to Trelis, but at least from the other 300 snails which give a dye, why are you picking the Murex trunculus? So first of all, it's important to note that this researcher is talking about worldwide, Murex worldwide. And a lot of the Murex is found in the Pacific Ocean and the tropical areas, but in the Mediterranean Sea itself, there are only 14 species of Murex snails which give a dye at all. And the chilazin was something which lived in the Mediterranean. So that's what that cuts out almost all the Murex snails. We're going to get into these 14 in a minute. But also it's important to note that from 300 dye snails, just because it has dyeing capabilities, it doesn't mean that it actually is something that can be used for a dye. Well, even if it has a drop, a lot of these snails have only a tiny drop of dye in them. So you can't really dye anything with it. But from the dye snails that there are, Murex dye snails in the entire world, there were only 16 dye snails that were ever used for a recorded history as being used for a dye. So, sach hakol, in the Mediterranean, there are only 14 dye snails which actually have dyeing capabilities. There's a 15th one, the Parpula lapillus, which is not in the Mediterranean, but it goes a little bit into the Mediterranean. So, but in the main Mediterranean, there's only 14. 10 of them were never known to have ever been used for a dye. So we're left with 4 Murex snails in the Mediterranean that were ever known to have been used for a dye. That's the Murex trunculus, Murex brandaris, and Hemastoma, and also the stingwinkle. So, and the Murex trunculus is the only one that gives a blue dye. Now, not only is the Murex trunculus the only one that gives a blue dye from the ones in the Mediterranean, is the Murex trunculus is the only one that naturally gives a blue dye from all the dye snails that we know of that were ever used for it. From the 16 dye snails that we know that were ever used for a dye, the Murex trunculus is the only one that's known to naturally give a blue dye. All the other ones give a red-purple dye. So that's a very good reason to assume that the Murex trunculus is the chilasin of Trelis. And what he said, that why would we assume, it sounds a little strange to assume that the Mediterranean, there we're not finding any new creatures. Other places in the world, we find new creatures. The Mediterranean, we don't find new creatures. And that's simply because the Mediterranean has been the most studied sea in the entire world. There's been the divers have been scouting the bottom of the sea for the past 100 years. And they're not coming up with new creatures of significant size. Yes, they'll find these little tiny creatures, but it's not really going to help us for the chilasin of Trelis. For example, in 2019, they found a new snail in the Mediterranean, not in the Eretz Yisrael, but somewhere far out in the mid-Mediterranean Sea, and this snail was 3 millimeters long. So, yes, a 3-millimeter snail is going to be quite difficult to use for the chilasin of Trelis. But as far as creatures of significant size, they're not finding any creatures of significant size, brand new ones that we never heard of before in the Mediterranean. The main focus of the shiur was saying how the chilazin, even though chilazin does include snails, nartika gadol imites, but chilazin is really a general term, which is an umbrella term which includes all different species. And he gave a dogma from eif. Well, eif, we know, is a species which is an umbrella term which can include all different types of birds, which is a little bit interesting to bring a dogma from eif, which we know is a general term. So we should bring a dogma from something that is a chiddush that is a general term, meaning I can't bring a raya to this idea of a general term from the word behema. I'll tell you, maybe chilazin is like behema. Behema includes all animals. All animals are under the category of behema. So we see behema as a general term. Well, that's not a chiddush. We know that behema is a general term. He's trying to be mechadish that chilazin is a general term. So a dogma for that would be, let's say, something that we would not necessarily known to be a general term, which really is, let's say, for example, the word telaas. The word telaas, we think, is a worm. Telaas is a worm. But really, telaas includes much more than what a worm. includes the Tailas Shani. There's the Kermes insect. The Kermes insect is called the Tailas, and the Kermes insect is a little black bug. It looks nothing like a worm, but we see from the Pesukim and Chazal, it's called Tailas. Rashi in Chulin Daf Pehim of Beis calls a moth a Tailas. In Shabbos Daf Tzadim and Aleph, he calls a buklaus a Tailas. In Yeshaya Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Ches, he calls a wood borer a Tailas. In Aruch, Erech Yavchush, he calls a gnat a Tailas. All these things have no resemblance whatsoever to a worm, but they have the same Tailas, because Tailas is a general term. Rashi in Masechtas Mashkin, which is miyuches to being Rashi, one of Rashi's early meduras of Ma'id Katan, he says a snail is a Tailas. So we see that Tailas is a general term. We can prove it. We see that a snail, a buklas, a moth, it's a general form of insect, which includes all different things under Tailas. But if I want to go ahead and tell you something I didn't know before, let's say I'll tell you chamar. Chamar is a general term. It's a donkey. Yes, we know chamar is a donkey. But chamar also includes, it's a general term which includes zebras, walruses, octopuses. It's a general term. Well, you're going to tell me that if I want to claim that, I need to bring very solid proof that chamar is a general term that includes such vastly different creatures. So if the Magid Shir wants to claim that the word chilazin is a term which includes snails, oysters, clams, slugs, crabs, fish, turtles, and other things, which we'll see in the next year, means grasshoppers. So he needs to be very strong in his proofs. So he claims that he has Chazal, Gemaras, Rishonim, Achreinim, and everything to back it up. So let's go through. What proof does he have to claim that Chilazin is this general term? So as far as Chazal is concerned, there's no rise from Chazal. There's no basis in Chazal Bechlal. No Makaris to say that Chilazin means any of these things. From Rishonim, also, no Rishonim whatsoever to tell me this, that Chilazin is a general term. The two Rishonim that he quotes is Rashi and Sanhedrin, which calls the Chilazin of Tchilas a Tailas. But again, first of all, Rashi is talking about the Chilazin of Tchilas. That means that any Rishon which is going to be discussing the Chilazin of Tchilas, you can't go ahead and use it as a raya to say that Chilazin is a general term which includes different other creatures. So that's first of all. So Rashi is talking about the Chilazin of Tchilas. So anyways, that wouldn't prove the general term of Chilazin. But also we said Fakert, Tailas is a general term. Tailas we see is referring to different creatures. So the Chilazin of Tchilas is a snail. We know that Rashi and Masechtas Mashkin says that a snail is also part called a Tailas. Also we're going to see later that Rashi learns the snail is a Tailas from Parshas Emor. So, Fakir, Tailas is a general term which includes snails. So there's no raya from Rashi and Sanhedrin that to say that Chilazin includes worms. So what do we have from the Rishonim? So maybe you could say we have the Rambam that says Chilazin v'udag. It's a fish, so that was the Makar in the Rishonim, that Chilazin is an umbrella term, a general term which includes fish. But again, the Rambam is talking about the Chilazin of Tchilas. You can't bring a raya from what he's talking about, the Chilazin of Tchilas, to the general term of what Chilazin means. And anyways, the Rambam saying Vuhudag means a fish is a mistake, because the Rambam's Pirush Mishnayos, Hamisas Kalim, he learns that the Chilazin, which is a snail, it has a shell, so he learns that Chilazin is not a fish. So over here, what he means, Vuhudag, is that, like the Gros says, Dag is a general term which refers to all creatures in the sea, which, like we find Pesukim to back this up, that it says that there are Oifis, Behemis, and Dagim. Oifis referring to all the creatures in the sky, the flying creatures, Behemis, which refer to all the land creatures, and Dagim, which refer to all the sea creatures. But we're not getting into that now, but Dag is the general term which includes all sea creatures, and that's what means Vuhudag, but not that Chilazin is a general term which includes fish. So Chazal, there's no Chazal. Rishonim is no Rishonim. Maybe the Achreinim, but there's nothing in the Achreinim. The only Achreinim that you could say to such a thing would be what he wants to claim later, that the Yaivitz says that the Chilazin of Tchilas is a clam, which we'll talk about later. But again, the Yaivitz was talking about the Chilazin of Tchilas. You can't bring a riot to the general term Chilazin based on what the Yaivitz is talking about the Chilazin of Tchilas, which he claims is talking about, means a clam. so we have no achrayim. So what do we have? So no chazal, no rishayim, no achrayim. So he said everything. So it must be from the everything. So what's the everything? The everything is a kuntra is called Kuli Afach Lavan Tahar, which quotes the online Syriac dictionary under the entry called Halzun. So this Syriac dictionary claims that Halzun, in Syriac, the word Halzun refers to snails, oysters, clams, slugs, crabs. So basically what we're saying is that we're basing the word Chilazin of Chazal, that means that Chazal's Chilazin is a general term to include all these different creatures based on the online Syriac dictionary, which doesn't talk about fish, turtles, or grasshoppers. So besides that being a chiddush to go ahead and base the klal and chazal's word on the online Syriac dictionary, but all the other Syriac dictionaries don't agree with this online Syriac dictionary because they all claim that the word halzun means specifically snails. Just to mention a few of the Syriac dictionaries which say that the word halzun in Syriac means a snail, is in 1788, the Latin Syrian dictionary says that translates Chalzun as conchylia, which is a snail in Latin. In 1879, the Thesaurus written by Payne Smith also only attributes the word Chalzun to snails. In 1903, his daughter wrote a dictionary based on his thesaurus, where she translates the word Chalzun as shellfish, especially the Tyrian murex. In 1895, the Latin Syrian dictionary writes that the word chalzun is kaklia. In 2002, the Syriac English Dictionary translates chalzun as murex. So if we're going to go according to Syriac dictionaries, weiter, we have a raya that the word chilazin means a snail. So, seif davar, there's no makar to say that chilazin is a general term at all. Not from chazal, not from shem, not from achrayim, and not even from the everything. So now let's go to the Makaris from the Ar Chazal, from the Rishaynim and Achrayim, which hold that the Chilazin means snail. So first of all, on the Chilazin of Tcheles itself, we have from the Goenim, let's say the Ginzei Kedem says that the Chilazin of Tcheles was a snail. From Chazal, we have the Psikta, the Rav Kahana, which we already spoke about, of Nartika Gadol Imay. From the Rishaynim, we have Rashi, which brings this Psikta, the Rav Kahana, and understands it to mean chaymet. He uses the lashon of chaymet. Rabbeinu Bachai also said, brings it down the chilazin and uses the word chaymet to explain what the word chilazin of Nartika Gadol Imay is. The Rush, he says that it's a shablul. The Marikayin and Achrin, he learns that it's a chaymet. He says chaymet. Rashi and Abay Dezara on Mishkidi Chilzaini, he says, what's a chilazin? He says it's a limus, it's a snail. Rabbeinu Gershom and Rashi and Bechairis also say that, talk about the mum of a Bechair, which is called a chilazin. Vusha kain limus, it's a snail. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Kelim also understands that the chilazin is a snail. The Aruch also understands that the chilazin is a snail, and we're going to see in the next year when we talk more about the Aruch. And Rabbi Tanchum Yerushalmi, who's a Talmud of the Rambam, who wrote a dictionary for the Arach HaZacha, he himself writes that the Chilazin of Tcheles is a species of snail. If you want another Achron, we have the Tzvuas Aretz, which says that the Chilazin is a snail. Chilazin of Tcheles is a snail. So we have plenty of Achronim, Rishonim and Achronim, which Taka do identify as Chilazin as being a snail. And Taka, there's nobody's mefakbik on it anymore. Even Rav Asher Weiss, who was very stark against Chilazin being a snail in his early shiurim, now Taka recently was Chayzer, and Taka holds that the Chilazin, Taka was a snail. So Seif Davar, to go ahead and say that Chilazin is a general term to include more than just a snail, has no makaris. And Fakir, all the Makaris point that Chilazin means snail. Now let's see what the ramifications are of the word Chilazin meaning snail. Well, we have a Tesefta in Menachos Perek Tes, Halacha Tes Zayin, which says, Tcheles ain't kshir el menachilazin, shalai menachilazin psula. Tcheles needs to come from the Chilazin. If it doesn't come from the Chilazin, it's pasal. Shni Tcheles, minat Tcheles Shebaharim, Shalai minat Tcheles Shebaharim, psula. To get Tcheles Shani, that's kosher only from the Tcheles of the mountains. If it doesn't come from the Tcheles of the mountains, then it's pasal. So now it's interesting, if you contrast the way Chazal spoke about Tcheles and the way Chazal spoke about Tcheles Shani, something a very important point comes out. By Tcheles Shani, Chazal is makbid to specify which Tcheles is it that gives a red dye, which is kosher for Tcheles Shani. And it says, Dafka Tcheles Shebaharim. Why? Because there are three different types of Tcheles which give a red dye. We had, there's the Kermes insect, there's the cochineal, there's the lac insect. And Chazal is telling us that Dafka, the Kermes insect, which grows on the Kermes oak, which lives on top of mountains in Eretz Yisrael, Dafka, that species is kosher for Tcheles Shani. So now when we go to the first part of the Tesefta, which talks about Tcheles, all it says is Tcheles in Kshira Ela Menachilazin. Tcheles is kosher from the snail. If it doesn't come from a snail, then it's not kosher. But it doesn't specify which type of snail. So that means either one of two things. Either Tcheles, which comes from any snail, is kosher. The Tcheles is not makbid which specific species of snail that gives Tcheles is kosher. As long as it comes from a snail, as opposed to plants, indigo plants, or any other plants, or any other creature if you find, then it's not going to be kosher. But if it comes from a snail, that is kosher. Another option is that no, that Tcheles is only kosher from one source. But Chazal didn't specify Dafka specific Chilazin, because as far as Chazal knew, in Chazal's times, they only had one source for Tcheles. That means that if we find a creature that gave a blue dye in the times of Chazal, then that behechrich is going to be the Chilazin of Tcheles. So one thing we see is that the fact that it says Tcheles in Kshira Elamen Chilazin, and Chilazin means snail, that if we find a snail which gives a blue dye that they had in the times of Chazal, then we know that that would be kosher for Tcheles. And being that the Murex trunculus is a snail and it gives a blue dye which was used in the times of Chazal, that itself tells us that the Murex trunculus would be a kosher source for Tcheles.